is it that you're disregarding that God wants to use to bless your life? What enemy is to become your footstool?
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Fort Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today as we continue the message, Preparation for Your Destination. And Pastor, I have to admit, I had two very different thoughts as I heard the two questions that you just threw at us. Who is it that you're disregarding that God wants to use to bless your life? All right, I think I was thinking generally kind of a godly thought along those lines. Then what enemy is to become your footstool? And then that got me, hey, some enemy that I have right now is to become my footstool. And I tend to think of a footstool as something that I'm going to put my feet up on. I'm going to trample. I'm going to use.
That's right.
And it's designed
to make you more comfortable.
Okay.
That's what it's designed to do.
So help me. Am I thinking rightly here?
I have a story. You know, I got a story for everything.
Of course you do.
Listen, I was at the health club. It was a guy named Ray. You know, he professed to be a believer too. And Ray didn't like me. And the reason he was upset with me, you'll hear about it in the sermon. And so I would speak and I'd say, good morning. He wouldn't speak. He'd look at me, turn up his nose. This went on for month after month. And finally, you know how it is. I said, now, Lord, my patience is running thin. You know, I keep speaking to this man. He ignores me. How often do you want me to do that? And then, you know, it came to mind 70 times seven, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I kept doing it. Well, one day I leave the health club and Ray's out there and the hood of his car is up. People are saying, no, I don't have cables. No, he didn't ask me, but I had cables because I had a hoopty.
Yeah.
And that's a raggedy car for those of you who are colloquially challenged. And so long story short, I went to my car. I got my cables. I pulled the car around. I said, hey, Ray, I got cables. Can you use a jump? Yeah, I can use a jump. I jumped them. He starts speaking to me. Fast forward the video. My wife and I, we were shortchanged, but we needed a bed really bad. We go into this place to get this bed, and we're short. Guess who comes out? Ray. He comes out, and he says, hey, what are you doing here? I said, well, we were talking to your salesman about the bed, and we're a little short, so we're just going to have to look somewhere else or get a cheaper one. He said, no, you can get that one. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Here was an enemy, and I responded the way Christ said, respond, and he became my footstool.
Yeah, and probably to some degree, friend.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah,
most
and
definitely.
So very cool to see how, you know, by following what Christ has called you to do,
that's right,
ended up with a blessing down the road.
Amen.
Well, we're in Hebrews chapter 12 today, so if you can, grab a Bible and join us there as we continue this message, Preparation for Your Destination. Here's Pastor Ford.
You know this well. I've said it so many times. A compound word consisting of ire, which means I, nay, which means storm, ergo, eye of the storm. You know that. So as you go through the Bible, here's what you see. God is the God of peace, Hebrews 13:20. Christ is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Believers are sons and daughters of peace, Luke 10:6. Our gospel is called the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15. And Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, I want to show you something here. Give you an illustration of what I mean. And then we're going to look at Abraham and close out. When I was going to health club, I go 5 days a week. Went so much at that time of day from 6 to 8, we all knew each other. And we'd all talk and get together. Some of us were Christians, some of us weren't. But we'd been do things together, like leave there and go to breakfast. There was one brother, small brother, about 4'55". His name was Ray. And Ray was a very toxic believer. So much so that our little group, 8 or 9 of us, nobody would talk to him. He wouldn't talk to them except me. I'd speak to him. Hey, Ray, how you doing, man? How's everything? You know, blah, blah, blah. And he'd say, hey, I'm doing fine. Then he finally gravitated and would talk to me. So when they would talk about Ray, I would try to be the example. I say, well, I get a chance to talk to him. He got some good qualities. Yeah, well, where are they? What are they? Every time he opened his mouth, he lying. How do you know he lying? He opened his mouth. Stuff like that, you know. And so, you know, I'm trying to be the peacemaker, right? Right? So one day, Nate, who's an older gentleman, Nate now probably in his 80s, he came up to me and they were all talking about Ray. Ray wasn't there. And he said, and you trying to act so spiritual, but you see this brother is so toxic, so negative, you really wonder if he's a believer sometime. Now tell the truth and shame the devil. I said, yeah, you right. And turned around, and whose face did I see? Ray. He looked at me with that hurt look, turned around and walked back out of the gym. I went behind him. I said, man, I'm sorry. I know you won't believe it. That's the first time I ever got in a conversation with them about you. Ask them. Said nothing. Nothing. Said, man, I need you to forgive me. Said nothing. And so for the next few months, every day, Monday through Friday, hey, Ray, how you doing? So you know what the tendency is, right? Man, I made a mistake. His brother won't forgive me. All right, you know. But the Spirit of God wouldn't let me stop. And so every day for 3 months, hey, Ray. All right, see you later, man. Turn, stop. So I come out the gym. Ray's out there with his hood up. And, of course, everybody's walking by. He's like, can you give me a jump? No, I ain't got time. No, I don't have the cables. So I went out. So what's up, Ray? He ain't say anything to me. What's going on, man? Can I help you? He ain't say nothing to me. So I went to my car, and I had a hoopty, so you know I had jumper cables. They's in the back seat. That's how you know if you got a hoopty. You carry the jumper. You don't put them in the trunk. You put them in the back seat because you know the battery going to die, and you're going to need the cables. And you know that's how you tell you got a hoopty. You know, somebody help you drive it. Somebody can help you drive it. You got a hoopty. Hey, it's raining. Grab that windshield. Do it like that. You know you got a hoopty. If you drive a Ford hoopty but got Chevy doors, the whole car's red, but you got a blue door on one side and a white door. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, when every kind of smoke come out at the same time, the white smoke, the blue smoke, the gray smoke. Yeah, but anyway, so I pull up. And I stop and put my hood up, put my cables on, and have the cables. I said, do you want me to give you a jump, bro? He said, yeah, I need a jump, man. And I gave him a jump. And after that, the next day I came in, hey, Ray, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Thank you for the jump. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not the end of the story. So we're living in the parsonage. And we need a new bed. My wife says, we need a new bed. This is not going to make it. I said, okay, we got $200. Can't buy a bed with $200. I said, well, we can lay one away and put something on it every week until we're able to get it out. So that was like March. I told her, we ought to have one by October. Y'all laughing. I'm going by what I was being paid at the time. So anyway, so we leave out and we go, we head to up 75th Street. We're headed to Ford City to lay away a bed with this $200. We go by a furniture store. My wife said, there's a furniture store right there. Let's stop there. I said, I don't think we're going to get anything in there. So we stop because she wanted to stop. We go in. She sees a bed. Oh, that bed. Oh, that's the bed. The bed was $2,300. I said, well, if this is one you want, you know, blah, 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 it was a California King and blah, 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 nice box spring, nice mattress, everything. And the guy who was with us, you know, he said, wait a minute, let me go get the boss. Maybe he'll give you a deal. All right. Guess who came out? Ray. Ray. And guess what we purchased our California King for? The $2,300. $200. $200. Follow peace with all men. We ain't know what God was doing, but God had it hooked up that our destination along the way, that Ray was a part of that. And I didn't know it at the time. Who is it that you're disregarding that God wants to use to bless your life? What enemy is to become your footstool? Now, let's look at Abraham in Genesis 13. How do you do this? See, he's telling me to follow peace with all men, which no man shall see God. We ain't got time to deal with that one. That's one all by itself. So both Abraham and Lot backslide. They go down to Egypt. Anybody know why? Holler it out real quick. Famine in the land. And what did they fail to realize as a believer? It's better to have a famine and be in the will of God than to have a feast and be out of the will of God.
Such an important truth for us to remember as we go through just the challenges and the struggles of life. You're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Preparation for Your Destination. And maybe as you've been listening to today's program, there's a question that comes to mind. Or maybe as you've been doing your own personal Bible study, you've hit a passage of Scripture and you're wondering what that means and how you can apply that to your walk with Christ. Well, you can always ask your question to Pastor Ford by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org, click on the contact link, and ask your question there. We'll make sure that Pastor Ford sees that, and who knows, we just might answer that question on a future broadcast. Again, our website is treasuredtruthradio.org, and then click on the contact link. Let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
So they went down in Egypt, and somebody tell me, because you know this already, everything that they brought back that they wanted, which is why they went to Egypt, when they came back in fellowship with God, it was a curse to them. It was a curse to them. Why? Because God will not allow you to get what you want without Him and it not costing you something. Yeah, we'll talk about more of that in the next verse. So what did he do? Let me walk through this real quick. I'm going to drop him. I'm not going to push him. Why was Abraham able to do what he did with Lot? He's following peace with all men. Here's the first thing. When they both came out, Genesis 13, verse 4, what did Abram have that Lot didn't have? An altar. What did Abram go back to that Lot didn't go back to? Fellowship with God. Here's the first key to following peace with all men. Number one, fellowship with God. Because your fellowship with God is what empowers you to maintain your fellowship with men. All right. So he comes back with an altar. He's a worshiper. But then notice, it says the Canaanite and the Perizzite, verse 7, were in the land. Witness. Our witness is going to be messed up. And so Abram is the spiritual person, and it's always the onus on the spiritual person. He says, I'm the one in fellowship with God. Lot is not. So it's my responsibility as a spiritual person. How do I know that? Matthew 18. If you have aught against your brother, go. You have to be the spiritual one to go to your brother. But then Matthew 5. If you come to the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, go. Notice in both cases, it's different, but the person who goes is the same. It's the most spiritual person. Uh-oh, you tried to reconcile with somebody. Don't you know your spirituality is showing? You tried to maintain peace. Don't you know your spirituality is showing? But then secondly, for testimony. How many of us have ruined our testimony because of the way we're living? When unbelievers look at us and say, what? A Christian? And you supposed to be a Christian. Hey, all y'all Christians, all y'all love Jesus, then why do y'all fight each other so much? Good question. Because like Tony Evans said, if I'm in a foxhole, there's only one thing I care about with the person. Is that person shooting in the same direction I'm shooting in? And there's coming a day in America, like it is in Syria, like it is in Pakistan and Afghanistan and all the places, Sudan, all the places where Christians are being killed every day. They don't care what denomination you are. Do you know Jesus? They don't care what church affiliation you have. Do you know Jesus? That's all they care about. They don't care whether you're a tongue speaker or a non-tongue speaker. Do you know Jesus? Because when somebody's trying to kill you because you know Jesus, you can do whatever else you want to do. It don't matter. I know you on my side if you know Jesus. And it's coming to that too. Then notice, who goes to who first? Y'all know the story. Who goes to who first? Abram goes to Lot. What does that take? It takes humility. So here you have fellowship with God. How do I maintain? You got to have fellowship with God. That's first and foremost. You got to be concerned about your witness, your testimony. And then you got to be a humble person. You got to have humility. Why do I say humility? Who's in the wrong? Lot. Whose land is it? Abram's. Well, couldn't he just say, and that's another point, I'll bring it up in a minute. Couldn't he just say, you better take a chill pill. You ain't the pastor around here, I am. He could have said that. That's what he could have said. But then he says, we can't have this animosity. What we just studied. A desire for peace. Here it is. You got to have fellowship with God. You got to be concerned about your testimony, your witness. You got to have humility, and there has to be a desire for peace. Do you know there's some folk who all they do is keep stuff stirred up? Every time you turn around, if you trace the mess, you can trace it back to the same people all the time. I guarantee you. 90% of the problems in our church are pointed out, emphasized by about 10 people. I ain't lying. Here's what they don't realize. What I just said on Sunday, you can't row the boat and rock the boat at the same time. You're going to rock, you're going to row. Now, there's times that the boat need to be rocked. Maybe some folk will fall out. Who keeping up all the mess? I don't know. But yeah, so a desire for peace. Here it is. He says, brethren, our relationship with each other. So here he uses the word brethren in the Old Testament. We be brethren. Now, wait a minute. A Lot was his nephew. So couldn't he say, I'm your uncle? No. That's not tight enough. We both believe in Yahweh. We're brethren. So our relationship with each other, here it is. He said, you choose. What did he just do? He relinquished his rights. I hope you're getting this. Hey, I want to continue. I want to do this thing. I'm on my way, and I want to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Then I fellowship with God, and I'm concerned about my testimony. I have humility, desire for peace. We have a relationship with each other, and I relinquish my rights. Man, for those 3 months, I felt like a fool. You don't think the devil was on my shoulder? Fool. Speaking to that man, he don't speak to you. You didn't ask him for forgiveness. You don't have a responsibility to him anymore. Yes, I do, because I hurt him. And I got to work with God until he's healed. That may take years, but that's all right. Every day, hey, good morning, Brother Ray. Sure hope you'll forgive me one day. Hey, Brother Ray, sure hope you'll forgive me one day. And you don't think people picked up on that? And they began to ask, especially Nate, the one who got me in that mess. No, he didn't get me in it. If I'd have kept my mouth shut like I always did, then I never would have got it in trouble. As a matter of fact, I might have got that bed a little earlier. But you get what I'm saying. And even Nate saying things like, you're speaking to him. See, I told you what kind of person he was. And that's a Christian. And you asking him to forgive you? What's wrong with 1 John 1:9? All that. Feel like a fool. But what was he doing? The bottom line. Trusting the Lord is what he's doing. Now here's what people say. I know you didn't heard it. You did something against me, I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't forgetting it. And here's what people say erroneously. The relationship can never be the same. Can somebody tell me what happened? Oh man, I got to tell you what happened. Lot chose, and because he made the wrong choice, he suffered the consequences. He was taken captive. Can I ask you a question? Who went and got it. That's right. That's right. He said, wait a minute. He belongs to me. I'm not going to see him suffer even though he made a bad decision. I'm going after him. And he went after him and he restored his nephew and everything he lost. When the code of Hammurabi says to the victor belong the spoils, but here is a believer that meets the qualifications for what it means to trust the Lord. And I don't have time to talk about it, but look at verses 14 through 16 and see God's response. Here this man kept the peace so that the testimony of Yahweh would be complete and the people in the land, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, would not say, and this, they fighting worse than us. They supposed to be believers. No, he did that so that the testimony of Yahweh would not be damaged, tarnished, diminished. And what did God say? Come here, Abraham. See the land? It's all yours. Lot may have chosen the best part of it. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. That God vindicates his servant when his servant obeys despite the price you have to pay to do what God has called us to do. Bless the truth to our hearts, our Father. We pray for Christ's sake. Let me just close by reading Romans 12. Romans 12, 18. Here's what it says. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. See what he's saying? It's up to you. It's either in you or it's not. But he says this. Some of it got to be in you. So as much as lieth in you. I can't do it like that. Well, what can you do it like? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message from Hebrews 12 called Preparation for Your Destination. And maybe you joined us a little late, or you just want to go back and hear this program again, as well as any previous program in the short series, come to our website. You can always listen online by streaming the program or downloading an MP3 for free. Our website address is treasuretruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, one of the things that's so encouraging about being involved in a ministry like this is regular feedback from listeners talking about how God is using this program in their lives.
Yes, they're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of them don't have the opportunity at times to get to Bible study. Sometimes they don't get the chance to study on their own at home.
Yeah.
But they turn on their radio and Moody Radio is there. The plethora of teachers and good sound teaching, and they're able to be edified and built up. And so I know that our listeners want to support us with one-time gifts and monthly gifts. And remember, yeah, no gift is too small, because it's not what I'd do with a million if a million would be my lot, but it's what I'm going to do right now with a dollar and quarter I got.
Well, if you would like to give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift, you can do that easily by coming to treasuretruthradio.org. Look for that link that says Make a Donation, and you can give your gift safely and securely online, both the ongoing monthly gift and the one-time gift. Again, that's at treasuretruthradio.org. Thanks for giving, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time here on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.